God, I'm still counting my blessings. All that you've done in my life.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another very special episode of Ignite Radio Live.
On this side of heaven. You are with Greg and Stephanie Schleter over the five mighty stations of Annunciation Radio for the Almighty. And yes, once again, we invite you to join us to go more deeply into this incredibly wonderful adventure of marriage and family by going to the Proclamation website,
ilovemyfamily.us.
And we invite you to go there to experience the different resources that are compiled, in particular, the Live It Gathering Guide, where you can gather with your spouse, your family, your friends, to be guided through talking and praying in a more substantial way, in particular, focusing on the upcoming Sunday readings.
So we are going to get very shortly to a very impactful homily by the new Bishop of Columbus, Bishop Earl Fernandez.
Toledo native.
Native of the Toledo area. On the subject of life at a homily this past Friday, October 6th, at the same day as the March for Life.
Did you just stumble over that date, Gregory?
I may have. It's my birthday.
Yes.
It was my birthday. We celebrate my birthday month.
Yes.
And I may even just launch in this occasion because, you know, I love to celebrate my birthday. I turned 56, and those of you who know me would hear me say it's the only day we celebrate somebody for nothing they did. Nothing they deserve, nothing they earn, but 100% because of the gratuitousness of an amazing God. It all goes to Him. All glory goes to Him. And I don't know, I just think every person ought to be celebrated. But tonight, I want to punctuate the importance of sharing stories to advance life. I'll say that again. To share stories that advance life. Now, there's two senses in which I'm speaking of to share. One is to share in the sense of we're living that story. Like, be mindful, like my birthday, that we're living a story as you are right now. Whatever is unveiling in your life, you are sharing, if you will, partaking of an ultimate story with whomever is in your life, your spouse, your children, whatever's going on, you're sharing it. The second sense that I'm speaking of is very important also, and that is that when God particularly anoints your life, when there are unique circumstances, and by the way, they may be sad things, they may be occasions of a funeral, the death of a loved one, dealing with a sickness and illness, having made it through a difficult time, COVID, my goodness, the last 3 years, the stories, share the story. You know, we are a people that are so ensconced in negativity and junk in this world. And by the way, we need to be aware of that. But are we infusing it with a sense of God with us? Are we infusing it with a sense of our ordinary everyday lives? Here are ways that God is present, that He's accomplishing good things in our lives. So share the story to advance life. We're going to share some of our stories. Steph and I are going to kind of wax a little folksy over the last week and what's going on in our lives. All that to say, we certainly are going to share Bishop Fernandez's new Bishop of Columbus. Love him. Love his words. Love our Bishop Thomas. Love how bishops are coming out and speaking very boldly. It's a little 0 hour time, right? And we commend anybody, but we need to be doing this all the time more than just because it's on the verge of an election. But we applaud the leadership, the courage, the formidability of bishops and priests and leaders full scale coming out and challenging us to be mindful of the gift of life, and can't say it strongly enough, in November to vote no. And very specifically, do you parents want to allow the government to deprive your authority in your home over your minor's decision to have an abortion or a dangerous gender assignment surgery and all of that stuff?
Spinning off of that a little bit, as our listeners know, so many have been so faithful knocking door to door to educate people, right, on what's at stake in November. In this election. And one of the stories that came back our way just really gave me pause, because we think, okay, it's the pro-lifers who need to be educated. And yes, we defend life. We vote no to defend life, right, in November. But we kind of lose sight also of how people take freedom. I don't know if that even makes sense. But the story, you'll understand in a second, had to do with the survey questions that were being asked. And as stuff was unfolding, the woman who had answered the door said, wait, I had an abortion, you know, way back when, and I don't regret it, basically, was what she was saying. She said, but I could have never done that without my mom being with me. And so it was just very interesting, right? If you come down to the right for parental consent and notification or whatever the words are. So obviously we don't want abortion to happen. We want to defend life. But even that, so if you find some common ground with your pro-abortion friends, right? So even if you believe in that, the whole parental consent notification is a big deal. So I just thought that was quite interesting.
100%. I want to direct you to protectwomenohio.com right up front. We need to be praying about this, engaged in the bishop's call. Bishop Thomas calling us to the 54 days of praying the rosary. It is very powerful. Steph, let's just have a little bit of a conversation about the way God has blessed us in recent days and weeks. And maybe just go to the scene Friday. We drove down to the March for Life at our state capitol. It's an absolutely beautiful day, gorgeous skies, great turnout.
It was a little chilly.
But it was beautiful.
Your wimpy wife.
It was amazing. Our son, Joseph Saf Schlieder in the Damascus worship team was leading worship when we got there. So just for the air in that area, right, resounding outdoors with the glory being given to God with these ancient hymns and some great uplifting worship and praise. So I would also say to be surrounded by a sea of fellow saints in the making, right? People we know, a little taste of heaven. If you've ever been to the March for Life in DC, this was something like that, right? You're surrounded by believers all in a journey, all of us imperfect, all of us under construction, but familiar faces, familiar names, people who have touched your life, in our case, for decades, and to be gathered there for this consequential moment, a little taste of the kingdom. So here's a living, vibrant experience of this goodness and truth and proclamation radiating. Who knows who was walking by? Who knows who had their windows down, you know, out there in the beautiful day? It reminded me, Stephanie, a little bit of my college days going back to 1989, when I had
way back,
there we go, leading the Ohio Right to Life Collegiate Coalition. We were on 23 campuses. We'd worked hard to establish pro-life groups on 23 campuses. And I was asked to be one of the speakers at an event like this outdoor at the Capitol. So I remember some of the speakers, Janet Folger at the time, a prominent speaker, and just the gathering of college kids, just a sea of college kids. And there were many there, of course, this past Friday also, but just the blessing of generations, I guess, is my point.
One of the things that really struck me was you mentioned our son Joseph with his blessing in his music career right now, calling, you know, signed artist, blah, blah, blah. And apparently his song has been being played locally quite a bit and nationally. So Proclaim FM has aired it a number of times. K-Love. I was so struck at this prayer rally, if you will, seeing him with a banner, Ohio March for Life, over his head. And I'm like, yes, praise you, Lord, for the gifts that you have given him in blessing his music to be out there nationally, internationally. But like, this is so much better. Like, this is like, I was teary thinking, like, this is where it matters, right? And in a special way, I think part of that sensitivity, if you will, to that was just thinking of my mom, who many of you know her story of being pregnant with baby number 13, going down to the National March for Life in 1976, 39 years old, passed away quietly in her sleep on the bus. And so being brought up in a home so forged in prayer and protection and activism for the unborn, like to see her grandchild leading music for the March for Life here in Ohio was just very moving. And then, you know, some of my nieces and my grand nieces and nephews, I'm getting older, who were there, who came up to me, you know, Aunt Steph, and I haven't seen them in a while, but a beautiful family. And I'm like, and these are her great grandchildren.
Wow.
You know, and so great just thoughts. Exactly what you're saying, love, of, you know, it does begin in the home. It does have its repercussions, if you will, in a beautiful way. It is a foundation. So just those are some of my
wonderful
thoughts from Friday's march.
So I want to proclaim the story, which is the gospel, that ought to define and color all of our lives, and encourage you, if you don't, every day to take time, even if you can't make it to daily mass. Read the gospel with the question in your mind of what strikes me, challenges me, inspires me, what questions does it raise? Approach the gospel with the question mark of your soul, with the poverty, if you will, knowing that he's the provision. It's just a great way to begin one's day in prayer, to attend to the gospel and hear God speak to us. So I'm going to proclaim now, again, an ultimate story that ought to define all of our stories for this coming Sunday from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. And again, stay tuned. We're looking forward to hearing the message from Bishop Earl Fernandez from this past Friday, but we're just kind of piquing your appetite as we are touching on other stories. All right, so the gospel, reading from the gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I've prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike. And the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth.' Many are invited, but few are chosen." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thoughts, Stephanie?
Well, my thoughts. So it's a sobering gospel, right? Mm-hmm. As we approach these weeks ahead, it gets more and more sobering. Mm-hmm. So the Lord has invited all of us, right? Mm-hmm. And so something that came to my mind was that we need to be mindful of those all around us on different pages and different faiths. Politicians,
yes.
People in the church,
yep.
That the Lord God created them in his image and likeness. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave his life for them. They are loved just as much as we are and are invited right alongside us. Now, obviously, right, we choose, but as fellow believers, do we care? Do we pray for them? Do we speak to them in love? Do we, so I'm saying I'm part of the we,
yeah, right?
You know, as much as I just, with our president, you know, am I offering sacrifice for him? Am I praying for him daily more than Lord bless our president or change his heart? You know, but like, does it really matter to me? Do I see, you know, fill in the blank with that one person either in our personal lives or who's out there who, you know, just drives us the craziest, right? Does it matter to me that the Lord might be calling me to be part of his plan for their salvation?
So that's good. I think Enamal is challenged in the gospel not to think of myself in Jesus addressing them as the one found, as the one he's presuming is there, as the one who's got it all together, and, oh, he's talking to them, those people, and, yeah, I really hope so-and-so hears this or really relates to that. Because the very first line is similar throughout all the gospel to his, generally his primary audience, mm-hmm. to the chief priests and elders. So he's speaking to those who ought to know, who are the chosen, who have this tremendous history of following him and would think themselves found, would think themselves holy, would think themselves religious. So I'm always saying, okay, am I potentially in danger? I'm going to be honest. Am I in danger of missing it because I presumed because I'm religious, I'm good enough? Am I in danger of missing the gospel and what Christ is asking because I go to church, I pray the rosary, I pray novenas, I do these things? In other words, is there any number of external fulfillment of things that accomplishes, that connects with, that earns, that you know, that makes possible my kingdom readiness? And the answer is absolutely no. If external fulfillment was all that it took. Hey, here's the list of 10 things or whatever that I did, and I did them perfectly. If that's all it took, the best actor would be a child of the kingdom by simply fulfilling that externally. So number one is I'm mindful, okay, do I have a realm of intentionality and heart for Christ, my Savior? And I'll say it's revealed in the difficult times, and I'm going to tie it into where we're at right now. My true sense of responding to the heart of God is revealed the degree to which, number one, I'll say, I'm taking meaningful prayer time because I can't miss it. I can't miss it because of all the things that may be competing for my attention that are awaiting me on my phone or right the radio program or the podcast or the work I've got to do, nothing surpasses my connecting heartfully with the God who made me. I'll say it again. If I'm truly of the kingdom, I would not miss meaningful daily prayer time. And if I am, there's a huge question mark over my life. There's a huge question of the degree to which I may be the ones he's addressing, like the chief priests or elders, who, again, have the externals but aren't doing it. Secondly, when I'm faced with moments that make me uncomfortable but are corresponding to the gospel, to stand for life, to speak truth, and it may be something as simple as kids wanting to watch a particular show or listening to a song in the car as we're driving, but the lyrics or the content does not affirm God, or let's just say a conversation with peers, friends, whatever, or with parents, am I willing to stand for the gospel? Another indicator of, am I simply externally, am I a fan or am I a follower? Am I a fan of God? Am I on the team because I wear the same uniform? Or in the depths of my heart, am I saying, Lord, I need you and your grace to flood my life and mind and heart so that I choose you above all else, knowing that this world is passing and you're wanting me already right now to live in a sense of being your son or daughter for the kingdom, to live those values regardless of how I am judged by the world, regardless of what the world says to me. Am I willing right now to be mindful of, okay, God, you've given me some time and some energy. How can I step up and be part of your team and letting it be known what's at stake in November? Like, am I willing to maybe even send, you know, I don't know, post on my Facebook page, which, you guys know I don't have a shortage of doing that sort of thing. It's easy to do, but how many of us do that? How many of us simply forward protectwomenohio.com site on our Facebook page, knowing that we may get some pushback, we may get people asking questions, we may get people disparaging us, deriding us, but isn't that what Jesus said would happen for those who follow him? What difference, I would put it this way, what difference do our posts and our words and our actions make for the kingdom? How much further advanced are people who have access to us by what we say? Is really going to, okay, great, I like your recipe about whatever foo-foo thing, drink, or food that you've made.
Hey.
You know, it's awesome. And by the way, you know, I get the place of that. But if I were to examine your Facebook page and looking for evidence that you, that we are of the gospel, that we are of Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict us? That's the question I get from this gospel, this challenging gospel. And I guess I'm trying to make it accessible.
So related, but unrelated, as always, how my mind works. So I'm going to set you up for a story, Gregory.
Great.
Are you ready?
Are you going to tell it? Are you setting it up for me?
I'm setting
up
for you to tell it.
Oh, no.
And then I have a different story.
Okay.
If we have time. So I was in listening to the gospel and just listening to you right now. A prayer that I think is worthy of everybody considering to pray is, Lord, let me hear these words as if it was the first time that I'm hearing them, right? Because I think too often us faithful, and I put that in quotes, Catholics or those trying to be intentional disciples, it becomes so rote so often, right? So like la-di-da-di-da, you know, you kind of go with the flow and do it and it's all good, but just that freshness and revival. We're in the year of Eucharistic revival, right? Like what needs to be revived? And so to hear things, to see things as if it was the first time, to have that appreciation, to really step back and not just be like, yeah, I know what happens, you know, and I know who wins in the end and I'm trying to live a good life. But just if we believe too that the gospel, right, is the living word of God, something that is living continues to change, right, and grow, and may the words of Scripture always be that in our life, right? May the Lord continue to use it ever anew in the new circumstances and the new day, you know. So thinking of those things and praying that prayer, I thought of a recent text, if you will, that you got from an old friend. I'll let you pick it up from there. So there was somebody who was super influential in Greg's life that Greg reached out to recently.
Powerful story, beautiful story. Miami of Ohio, not really catechized well during my childhood. Parents sent us to Catholic school. So in that sense, yes, right? So I find myself at Miami of Ohio, very invested in the pro-life movement, finding myself pining for something deeper, though I should say richer, fuller, more accessible, making the Eucharist, you might say, accessible. Never at risk for losing my Catholic faith, went to Catholic Mass, but started rubbing elbows.
Because your mother kept praying that you wouldn't.
Yeah, she was worried that I was going to, because I found tremendous grace with the Campus Crusade crew. I found just friendship, fellowship. It was real. It was alive. They prayed Scripture. They spoke of God in very relational, meaningful terms. That was very appealing to me. And I needed to, as they pushed back on my Catholicism, I needed to come up or understand more deeply what do we believe as Catholics, anchored in Scripture, tradition, faith, foundation. And at the time, this was not internet day where you could just get online and do a search, nor were there accessibility of books and the Scott Hahn era, corresponding to many converts who masterfully, beautifully, clearly, concisely communicate the truths of the faith did not exist. So there I find myself in the Scholar Leader Hall, surrounded by magnificent brothers and sisters in similar kind of programming special. We were among 32 selected full scholarships at Miami, and not all, you know, Christian, hardly, or Catholic, but good brothers and sisters. One of them, though, my brother Rich Rolwing, at the time, I was chatting with about this poverty of not having really knowing my faith and being challenged. Well, he said, you know, here's my dad's address. He's a professor at Xavier University. So this was a time, again, you didn't have email. I typed him a message expressing my concerns, my challenges, my doubts that were being pressed by my evangelical brothers and sisters. And whatever it was, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks later, I get this long 3-4 page, very thoughtful, concise articulation, description of matters, theology, and faith. Thus, that was the first of many back and forth with Rich's professor dad at Xavier. He took the time, right? He's a husband, he's a father, he's busy, he doesn't know me at all, and he's interacting with me in this letter format during, must have been maybe my junior, senior year of college at Miami. Extraordinarily influential. He introduced the book, Alan Schreck's Catholic and Christian, Common Misunderstandings of the Catholic Faith. It's probably the first apologetic book that I read. Fast forward, you know, Rich and I have been in touch, you know, Facebook style, once every year kind of thing. I'll shoot him a note, or, and I just told him, I said, please let your dad know just how deeply influential he was in taking the time to interact with me at a time where I was asking questions and in need of that guidance and formation. And his response to me was, you know, I shared with my dad, who has dementia now, he's in his 90s, you know, he's definitely coming in for a landing, my phrase. And he said he totally teared up. He totally was very, you know, choked up and very, very moved to hear from me now, many years down the road, having been blessed by the seeds that he nurtured and cultivated many moons ago, and how they flourished personally and in my marriage, in our family, and the work and ministry that we're doing, largely attributable to him and his effort. And now here at the end of his life, to be able to honor him and thank him for that blessing he was to me.
What Rich also said was, because he has dementia, he hears the story every time anew and tears up every time and is just so moved each time. And so Rich had also said in his text back to Greg, or message, whatever the proper terms are these days, just how beautiful it is to be able to share it over and over and over again. And for Rich to see his dad hear it for the first time and be just as moved and grateful. So how beautiful. I don't know, that just really struck me.
It's amazing. It's my dementia that kept me from those fine points of a very beautiful exchange with my brother Rich, who's and one of many, I would say. You know, think about folks who are listening right now, those who've influenced you in life and how God has caused them to persevere in their marriages, families, and making a difference. Rich is a Notre Dame law school grad and influential judge, and has remained just, again, a good friend, has made a huge difference in the world. And I must, you know, as I think about that also, Steph, last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, Dr. Teresa Farnan, whose father is the incredible Charlie Rice, God rest his soul. Many of you know that name. He was a champion for life in the legal realm for decades when everyone else was a voice to the contrary, a leader at, again, University of Notre Dame. His daughter, Teresa, came and spoke at Lourdes University on the subject of transgenderism, and she's has 10 children herself. She's a professor. And again, just the generations, the reverberation of the kingdom of truth by those willing to step up.
And to bring it back to the whole pro-life thing, an encouragement to you, our listeners, you do not know the impact that you can have just in being faithful, just in those little ways, certainly big ways that we need to be very intentional in, right? And I may have shared this story before, but years ago, way back when I was a classroom teacher, brick and mortar classroom teacher, something that I did from my first day of teaching was I prayed with my students. We prayed together Bishop Fulton Sheen's prayer for the unborn, the spiritual adoption of the unborn, and something to the effect, I should know it, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much. I beg you to spare the life of the unborn child whom I have spiritually adopted, who is in danger of abortion. Amen. So Amen. Short, sweet. Every day we would pray that. And so that was back in the early 90s, right? And you got a Facebook message or something not that long ago from one of my former students. One other thing, let me fill out real quick. This, even though I was teaching in a Catholic school, the environment was not evidently in support of the unborn. And I'll leave it with that. For sure, my students that the Lord had given to me and trusted to me, so it was junior high, eighth grade homeroom, definitely had drank the Kool-Aid, if you will, of the culture. And maybe a couple who were kind of pro-life in one particular class. And so it was a beautiful opportunity to, in love, share the gospel, right? And to share the truth about protection of life and the dignity of life and the, you know, just the beauty of Catholic Church teaching of, so it was a slow go, but they were super hungry and wanted to know. And, so by January of that year, a number of them came to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life and became huge advocates for life. So fast forward to the message that I had already alluded to, one of these former students asked you to pass along to me that her son's girlfriend was pregnant and confided in her, kind of didn't anticipate having that conversation. She had was seriously considering abortion. Had my former student not had this conversation with her, she probably would have gone ahead with it. So filling that out, she was able to speak of life. And in that classroom too, way back when, we did fetal development. I showed them, we prayed for them. Mm-hmm. We had a birthday party 9 months after we had begun that prayer, that spiritual adoption for the unborn. We did a little fundraiser. So she was well aware of what was, you know, the grandchild growing inside of her son's girlfriend. And what she had shared was, please thank her, because I would not have known, I may not have had the stance that I have today. Mm-hmm. And what struck me was not like, I mean, certainly praise God. And it was just me being faithful to what the Lord asks us to do, right? To proclaim that truth. But I couldn't help but be struck by, we could have been praying for this future grandson of hers, mm-hmm. right?
Like, amazing.
Her as a, however old you are, in eighth grade, 15, 14, 15, like that was the prayer. And prayer is outside of time, and the Lord honors that. So just in those moments of exposing and educating and loving, the Lord does tremendous things, and He is faithful. Nothing is for naught.
Thank you for that, Stephanie. Again, very moving. Folks, in just a moment, we are going to play the very impactful homily of Columbus Bishop Earl Fernandez at the Mass this past Friday. Before we do so, do we not pine for grace? Do we not pine for greater strength, renewal of mind and heart? Do we not pine for healing in our marriages and families? Do we not pine for greater anchoring in our lives of that which is consequential? Do we not pine for more than just anxiety and the churning of all that's happening in the world, but rather have souls that are solemnly focused on God's presence, and not just in fleeting moments, but as a way of life? If you're with me on this, if you're pining for greater, just, you know, being bathed in God's grace, being forged in God's grace, it's a yes or a no. If yes, I want to invite you to 3 amazing days of grace. 3 amazing days of grace. Please pay attention, have a pen and paper, because I'm going to direct you to where grace is wanting to be poured out from heaven, like the gospel, Jesus inviting us to grace in the form of the king of the wedding feast, right? He's pouring it out. He's inviting us. He's making it available. These are 3 occasions, 3 days preceding this incredible election coming up at the outset of November, right? Following the Feast of All Saints and All Souls. Okay, so the first date is November 3rd. So the 3 dates are November 3rd, 4th, and 5th. We're going to have the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal with us, and 3 significant dates. So Friday is going to be a very special Ignite. A special Ignite, which is the burning bush, the Eucharist, the candles. And though it's geared toward young adults, you are welcome. We invite you to come and experience at All Saints Church in Rosford this incredible evening at 6:30 p.m., a special Ignite with the Friars of the Renewal, with music led by none other than Seth Schleter, our son. So you can register for that, massimpact.us/ignite. massimpact.us, it's absolutely free, massimpact.us/ignite. And then the next day is kind of the centerpiece. It's the Sanctus Eucharistic Family Revival taking place from 8:30 to 4:30, roughly 4 p.m. on that Saturday. Steph, why don't you tell us about that?
So we are blessed to have the Friars, Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, for all 3 events. But in particular, the centerpiece of the weekend is this day. And so we are inviting you, with the focus on the family, to St. Joseph, Sylvania. I believe the Family Center, there'll be signs and such. But November 4th, that Saturday, to come and experience an incredible day with the Friars. There'll be different talks. There'll be breakout sessions. There will be Eucharistic adoration throughout. There will be praise and worship. There will be revival.
Amen. And right now, if you go and register, by the way, catholicrevival.us is the easiest URL, catholicrevival.us. And then there's a little button that says get on board. It'll take you to the registration page. So catholicrevival.us. for remaining days is 15% discount. I think it's a reasonable price anyways. Family rate, $55. Couple rate is $25. Individual rate's $15. Priests and religious come for free.
And we really encourage you, our priests and religious, to be a part of this day, this weekend. We would love just to have your presence with us.
Absolutely. CatholicRevival.us. And then on Sunday, this is a very special invite to our benefactors, to those who partner with this mission. We rely on your prayers. We rely on your support. We are 100% in this, which includes so much programming and mission and encouragement and fostering those seeds of growth over the last 10 years plus. And we very much invite you to become a partner, whatever that is, on a monthly basis, to support this movement, which helps us advance this mission. So for our partners and friends, Belief and Beverage Night with the head of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, Father John Bowden. He's a VMI graduate, Virginia Military Institute. He's the first Catholic in his family in over 500 years, but he's a phenomenal speaker, phenomenal author. That's going to take place at the St. Joseph Sylvania Family Center also. And you can find out more about that at massimpact.us/BNB. Register. All of these are registration events. We do ask that you please register. That Sunday is if you will, for free. We do invite you, even if you're not a partner, but you are inclined to want to support this community of missioned believers, to want to make a difference and want to find out a little more and experience what it's like to be with some amazing people. Again, massimpact.us/BNB. And now, with no further ado, we'll lead in with prayer, because it'll dispose our hearts to the words of Bishop Fernandez. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, you made us for yourself. We are the fabric of your nature, the nature of love, a trinity of persons pouring themselves out for the good of other. Lord, our identity is Trinitarian. Make us more aware of this identity, our unsurpassed identity, love, sacrificing self for the good of other. And the great grace that flows, Lord, when we embrace this identity, the mission that it is, and the occasion you give us right now with the fragility of things in our world, of those in our families, our marriages, and certainly the political situation, the fragility, God, of your kingdom, of people pining for you, invited by you to the feast, but for whatever reason, not seeing it, and if they see it, maybe rejecting it. You fashioned us, God, to be your voice, to be your invitation, to be your heart welcoming them into that incredible place of unsurpassed healing, peace, serenity. And so, Lord, as we listen to the words of our bishop tonight, make us aware of your love for us, an invitation to us, and the story that is ours, that is destined to be woven into all of the saints throughout the ages and angels in your eternal place. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
And through the intercession of Mary, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary.
Amen.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, I welcome you once again to this ever more full St. Joseph Cathedral. In a special way, I welcome my brother, Bishop Ed Mlesik, Bishop of Cleveland. I welcome the members of the Catholic Conference of Ohio here present, as well as officials from the government, both the House, the Senate, and the administration. To one and all, I wish you a warm welcome. Today we are offering a special Mass for peace and justice, but for respect for human life in all its stages. We know that about a month from now there will be a big vote, and we need the strength that comes from on high to actually win the day. It is not unrealistic to think, though, that we can accomplish the impossible. With God, all things are possible, and certainly that is our state motto. But we could think back to the year 1571, St. Pius V asked all of Christendom to pray the rosary, and the Christian forces led by Don Juan won a great battle at Lepanto. The power of prayer cannot be underestimated. But first, if our prayers are to be effective, we also need to not just speak to God and beseech God, but listen to the voice of God. What did the prophet Baruch say in our first reading? Justice is with the Lord our God. What is justice? Giving another person his or her due, giving God first and foremost his due, but also giving our neighbor, including the unborn child, his or her due. No matter the result of the November ballot election, justice is with the Lord our God, and God will give us, will give them justice. But Baruch went on to say during the Babylonian captivity, today we are flushed with shame. We men of Judah, citizens of Jerusalem, we our kings and our rulers, priests and prophets with our ancestors, have sinned in the Lord's sight and disobeyed him. We have neither heeded the voice of the Lord our God, nor followed the precepts which the Lord set before us. Now we might champion ourselves as defenders of human life. We might regret that there is an attack against the weakest and most vulnerable members of our society, from the unborn child to the elderly to the disabled person. But what is our responsibility? There is certainly structural sin, and we work for justice. But St. John Paul II said, at the root of structural sin is personal sin. For what do we need to repent? Where have we been indifferent? Where have we been callous? What is my responsibility? How often have I neglected my brother or sister in need? We have neither heeded the voice of the Lord our God, nor followed the precepts which the Lord set before us, including the Ten Commandments, the fifth of which is, thou shalt not kill. To say thou shalt not kill is also to commit oneself to reverence for human life in all its stages, for reverence for the human person made in God's image and likeness. And by loving our neighbor, we are showing our reverence for the God who made all of creation, and when he made man and woman, declared his creation to be very good. To say no to the killing of the innocent, to say yes to the gift of human life. And that is what we are here to do, to witness to the gift of human life and to commit ourselves ever more fully to being good stewards of that gift. From the time the Lord led our ancestors out of the land of Egypt until the present day, we have been disobedient to the Lord our God and only too ready to disregard his voice. The word obedience in Latin comes from the word the two words ob audire, to hear. We don't listen. My brothers and I were all very good students in school, but sometimes we'd get a sad face back. And the teacher would write, see me. And right at the bottom of the page, does not listen, does not follow directions. And we would have to go shamefaced home to our parents for whatever punishment we deserved. In the same way, we do not listen to the voice of God, calling us to defend human life, calling us to not be apathetic or indifferent, calling us to greatness day in, day out. We want to do our own thing. I want my freedom. I want my independence. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to vote. Too ready to disregard his voice in favor of an autonomous conscience that it confuses freedom with license. And the evils and the curse that the Lord enjoined upon Moses, his servant, at the time he led our ancestors forth from the land of Egypt to give us the land flowing with milk and honey, cling to us even today. What is necessary for the church today is purification. We are at the same time both prostitute and chaste. That is, we are filled with sins, yet we rely on the Lord's grace to make us integral, to make us authentic witnesses to Christ. Why were these curses upon us? Why do we find ourselves in a situation? Because we did not heed the voice of the Lord in all the words of the prophets whom he sent us, but each went off after his own devices according to his wicked heart. When we do not listen to the voice of the Lord, this is what happens. We should not be surprised when the polls tell us that Catholics, who have been given every good gift, every sacrament, the gospel of life, the prophets, the popes, an authoritative voice. Right now the polls show that Catholics are voting yes 58% to 42%. We need to change that. One person at a time, talking to our brothers and sisters, not being afraid to be bold, filled with the Spirit, to talk about the goodness of life and our responsibility, our moral responsibility as Christians. It's not that Catholics do not do their lion's share of work. Many Catholics work day in, day out. I was in Cincinnati yesterday for a fundraiser for Elizabeth's New Life Center. I'll be down there again tonight. Crisscrossing the state, we bishops are. The governor is hard at work also because he is a Catholic wanting to live his faith. I see, and when I read our diocesan newspaper, the Columbus Catholic Times or the Cincinnati Catholic Telegraph, where I'm sure if I read Bishop Malasek's newspaper magazine, I'd find out what people are doing. Pregnancy decision health centers, the women's care center just up the road from here. I would see what people are doing in the Pregnancy Center Plus and the Pregnancy Center West down in Cincinnati. The St. Vincent de Paul Society showing respect for human life by meeting the needs of the poor. Catholic social services and charities across the state, again, helping the migrant, helping those who are in need. We practice our faith, we put it into action, because each and every person bears the mark of God. But still more is necessary. Again, when Roe versus Wade was overturned, the day before and the day after, there were women who needed accompaniment. And we are called to a radical solidarity with these women. Again, after the November vote, the day after, there will be women who are in need, who need accompaniment. And who will be there for them? Not the thugs of Planned Parenthood, but Catholics, committed Christians, people of goodwill who see the value of human life and who see how women must be given the option of actually saying yes to life and supported in their choices for life. This is a great good. Yesterday was the one-year anniversary of my mother's death. It was a great grace to have such a wonderful mother. She and my father, my two oldest brothers, they came to the United States from India in 1970. They faced prejudice because at the time, it was the time of Cesar Chavez and the migrant worker movements. My mother already had two boys, poor, immigrant, colored, and then three more boys in 1971, 72, and 73. And many people would have said, what are you doing having so many children? You're just going to be more and more poor. And my parents, who were born under the rule of the King of England, wanted something better for their children. And this country, with its freedom, afforded that to them and to us boys. They had a hope that life could be better. A society that does not have children, that rejects children, that kills children in the womb, is a society which has lost hope for that better future. But my mother was generous, and the Catholic Church and the parishes and the schools welcomed us. And from that one family, we have three physicians, a judge, and a Catholic bishop. Because with God, all things are possible. Mothers are incredibly important, and they need our support and accompaniment. That is why this year's Respect Life theme nationally is radical solidarity. What does it mean not to think of myself, but to be with another, to share in another's life? To stand shoulder to shoulder with them and say, you are not alone. I will not abandon you or your child. I will walk with you. Pope Francis calls us to be a church that walks together, that listens. And so we walk with women and their children. We walk with families to support them in every stage. Whether it's a pregnant mother or an immigrant, we are there. Back in December, around Christmas time, I went down to Chillicothe, and I had Mass in the prison there. There's actually a Catholic chapel in the prison. The Lord Jesus came to save even them, to loose the bonds that imprison us. But after I had Mass in the Catholic chapel, they brought me over to the gym. And I had Mass for the Catholic residents there who were on death row. And we will have the opportunity here within a week to have a 24-hour prayer vigil, and we are on the verge of this, actually, to end the death penalty in our state. After the Mass, one man came up to me and said, oh, Bishop, I hear you're from Cincinnati. I said, I am. He said, I'm from Cincinnati, too. I said, where are you from? He said, Camp Washington. I said, really? I was a pastor at Sacred Heart Italian Church down in Camp Washington. He said, that's where my mom went to Mass. I said, what's your name? And he told me his name. I said, was your mother Pat? And he said, yeah. And I remembered his mother used to come to church all the time, say, pray for my son, Father. He's in jail. She never told me what he did. But she prayed and prayed because her son, who was on death row, who had committed a terrible crime, was her son, whom she carried in the womb, whom she loved, even until her own death. And who, though he has committed a sin, his life, his hope should not be extinguished. Mothers are incredibly important in their prayers. But as are the prayers of fathers. Fathers must accept their responsibility. My father was a physician. He spent his whole life caring for women, men, children. And so he imbued this to us, his boys. But fathers must accept their responsibility and say, no, you know what? I'm going to lead my family in being a witness to the goodness of life. I'm going to be like St. Joseph, who rather than reject the Virgin Mary, accepted her as a spouse and took the child as his own and protected and defended the child from Herod, who sought to destroy the child. There are always going to be forces bent on dominating us. And we as Catholics have a duty because we have been sealed, have the Holy Spirit poured into our hearts in baptism, sealed with the gift of Holy Spirit in confirmation to witness to the God who loved us when we were sinners. When we did not hear his voice, he sent his prophets to save us, to call us to deeper conversion. And in the fullness of time, he sent his only begotten son to be born of the woman again, to call us to repentance and to friendship and to reconcile us with the Father. In our gospel from St. Luke, we heard Jesus not meek and mild. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. It will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, who will be exalted to heaven, you will go down to the netherworld. Justice is with God. But why? Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, they had seen the mighty deeds of the Lord. They had experienced his mercy. They had witnessed his healing miracles. In Capernaum, the people begged him not to leave. They saw all these mighty things. They experienced his grace, and they did not change. They did not give themselves over to being disciples. How many times God has shown us his tender mercies, how many times we have not changed. How many opportunities will this country be given to say yes to life? And yet we do not heed his voice. What we need are not just people who talk the talk, but walk the walk. We need credible witnesses. I just returned from Rome on Tuesday night. My flights were canceled, and I was trapped in Rome for a couple extra days. It gave me the opportunity to meet a Polish priest friend of mine. His grandfather had been a prisoner at Treblinka, the death camp, and escaped. Yes, there are always forces bent on dominating us. In our last century, we saw that. Whether it was Nazi socialism or communist oppression, we saw it, we felt it, we experienced it, we knew people who suffered. My friend, Father Popple, now worked in the Vatican Dicastery for Communications, but he recently wrote a book about the Ulma family, who was beatified last month, I think on the 10th of September. Now, they lived not far from the border of Ukraine, where there's terrible violence. Father Yosef, a wife, Victoria, been married for 9 years. In 9 years, they had 6 children. The father was very innovative with his agricultural techniques. The mother raised her children and loved them. They had a really good, solid family. 6 little children, the mother was pregnant with the 7th. And then the darkness came. The Nazis began to round up Jews and to send them off to the death camps. But what did this family do in the face of this darkness? They did not seek to protect themselves. They did not seek to do what was safe. They did not keep quiet. For more than a year, they harbored a Jewish family, Jewish families in their home. For more than a year. What drew suspicion was the mother kept on asking, buying more food to not only house these families, but to feed them. And so they became a part of this family's life. They were of a different faith, but the same humanity. God's children. And then they were discovered. And the Jews were killed first, then the parents, and then the children. And they were thrown in a common grave. When they came to bury, give a proper burial, they saw that the mother, when she was shot, went into labor. A whole family gave their lives to protect others. And the last word of this mother in trying to give birth to her unborn child was life. We are a people of life, who celebrate life, who cherish life, and who defend life. And after the November ballot, we will still be that people. Let us ask God for the grace to be the people and the church he has called to be. Not people who wage war against the weak and the innocent, but people who are the voice of the voiceless. Priest, prophet, and king we are called to be. And that we will shall be by God's grace. It will not be easy. The hammer will come down. We will be rejected and despised. Jesus tells us, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. Let us receive the Lord Jesus. Let us speak the Lord Jesus. Let us witness to the Lord Jesus. For in him alone is our hope and our salvation. Let us belong to him more wholeheartedly, and let us never cease, even to our dying breath, to proclaim this word, life.
Have been listening to a very special episode of Ignite Radio Live. We encourage you to listen to all of our programs at igniteradiolive.com. We do invite you to please partner with us at this time of truly wanting to see marriages and families live fully our nature in the Holy Trinity. So when you go to ilovemyfamily.us, click on that partner tab. God bless you.
God, I'm still counting my blessings.